it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2.
We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, they said it would never happen. I had a good run, but sadly, on about day what feels like 1 billion of the longest World Cup in history, I have finally been roped in to doing one of these sort of daily podcasts that we said we do and now everyone's regretting doing. But I am here. Hello. Welcome to a Zero Ducks Given. We said at the start of the tournament there were going to be non-dailies. That was an understatement. They're about once a week at the moment. Despite Daniel Norcross's best day, he's carrying some weight. Finney, who's got no excuse because he's actually on the Indian timescale, has been useless, and I've been just as bad. But we are here for a daily. It is myself and Daniel Norcross, and we are reacting to Australia thrashing the Netherlands, a bit of a World Cup update, and also a look forward to England's massive game tomorrow as well. But Daniel Norcross, you've been at the game. The Netherlands, they gave Australia a scare there for a second, didn't they?
At what point? I suppose at 290 for six, you might argue that they could have kept Australia to about 330, which might have given them a sniff of a chance of losing by fewer than 100 runs. But I thought they bowled pretty well in that brief segment. And actually, throughout, they didn't bowl badly. David Warner got off to a cracker with those four fours in an over of Aryan Dutt, which didn't help. And then Glenn Maxwell at the end. I mean, it was a joy to watch. And you shouldn't really get pleasure out of Australians doing well, wherever you're from, even in Australia, because it ought to be boring by now, because they've been doing it for hundreds of years. But I love Glenn Maxwell. I think he's a beautiful man and a genuinely one of the good guys, despite being Australian. And that 100 was just incredible to watch. He played a couple of these reverses, right, Toby? In the same over, he managed to flick this ball that was down by his ankles virtually for six over deep backward point. And then he sort of muscled this ball that was above his head with a reverse over the boundary behind the keeper. And it was like, at one moment, he was sort of puffing a really annoying toy dog. And the next minute, he was waving a handkerchief in the face of Andre the Giant and challenging him to a duel. The versatility of the man was extraordinary. The ball went absolutely miles. And I'm really pleased for him because he broke his leg really badly, hasn't had a good innings really to speak of since then. Has been out of touch, bowled quite well, but hasn't really had fun with the bat. And it made the game distinctly pointless. However, I want to thank the Dutch for not playing for pride. And that is just a quality that I think more teams should evince in the longest World Cup, when with the slowest over rates known to mankind, and games that frequently end beyond 10 o'clock, and you've still got to get through Indian traffic to get back to a hotel, which has incredibly last orders at like 11 o'clock. A team that goes down in a heap saying, I don't give a shit, let's get the hell out of Dixie, is a team that I can get right behind. Orange Army all the way.
gave up on any sort of notions of pride many years ago, and it served you very well. So I can understand why that resonates with you.
Yeah.
The Glenn Maxwell innings, let me tell you how, from my standpoint, my viewpoint in Clapham, how ridiculous an innings that was. I went to the hairdressers and the entire century took place during my haircut. When I went to the hairdressers, I was watching the game. I checked the score. Ooh. Australia, like you said, were on for a decent score. I went in, I got a haircut, I came out, and Glenn Maxwell had been in and out and scored 100 off 40 balls. That's how quickly he scored 100 from a Clapham point of view. So I had to watch the highlights back. But I'm glad you mentioned those ridiculous... It's sort of... You know how every time you think... Every time I see a new sort of cricket shot, I think, well, that's it now. There's no other new shots they can do because they've covered 360 degrees in every possible way. And it was the dill scoop, and then a new thing come along, and then it was the helicopter. And I'm like, okay, but we've sort of done it. Well, then Joe Root started playing this shot where he scoops it over the wicketkeeper in the slips. And I thought, okay, well, that's the last shot left possible. Well, Glenn Maxwell has sort of evolutionized Joe Root's shot now, and it goes a bit harder and a bit squarer. And I've never quite seen a shot like it. And he did it a few times. So that is something that he's obviously been working on.
Yeah, it's a kind of flicky Root, as we call it, the Root scoop, the Root. And it just has a little kind of flick of the wrists at the last minute. And it means he can sort of access the ball from whether it's down by his toes or up by his head, which is quite a skill to have, isn't it? I found it mesmerising as I'm commentary during it and didn't really, found it very difficult to describe, because the beautiful thing about being a cricket commentator is you can go, he's driven it through the covers off the front foot, he's driven it off the back foot, he's pulled it, he's hooked it, he's cut it, he's glanced it, he's guided it, he's scooped it. And now, I don't know what to say. I have to go, oh, God, give me a minute. Oh, shit, they're coming into bubble again. I haven't really got to the bottom of the majesty of this shot yet. This is where being a radio commentator is a lot more awkward than being a TV commentator. He's on the TV and just go, look at that.
It's true. I don't know what you call that shot. And also... I'll tell you now, we've been on doing this podcast for a few minutes now. We've talked about this shot at length. And yet, I still don't think that anyone that hasn't seen that shot yet, we've made it any clearer what he did, because it's sort of, it's inexplainable. The best I can explain, do you remember when Kevin Peterson did the switch it to Murali? It's like that, but without switching your hands is probably the best way I can describe it. But it was so flicky.
But with a flicky, it was like knocking the top off a boiled egg with a backhand. You know,
I mean, I'm glad we cleared that up. Yeah,
with a very, very sharp implement. It's great. Shall I tell you what you need to do?
It's like taking the top off a boiled egg using a backhand technique, but with a samurai sword.
Yeah, I think that covers it. If you can't work out what that is, then frankly, you don't deserve ever to be given a samurai license. What you need to do is to go onto the BBC Sport website and app, where we have in-play clips and highlights and every ball of every game during this World Cup, and decide for yourself and get in touch with Zero Ducks at Zero Ducks Pod, and you try and describe it if you're so clever, because it isn't easy.
Yeah. Now, also, let's give an update on the World Cup. So England have gone from bottom to eighth in the last couple of days on net run rate, thanks to Bangladesh and Netherlands both getting an absolute spanking. So, believe it or not. So England, finally a bit of positive news for England fans. We're no longer bottom of the
table. Inexorable rise, Toby.
It turns out that we're much better when we don't play. That's probably a worrying sign. But Australia, how Australian would it be, Dan? You know what I'm going to say? How Australian would it be? David Warner looks bloody good. They've got so many good players. Maxwell's got his eye in. He's invented a new shot called the egg-breaking samurai shot. They're quite good on paper. Zampa bowls really well in these conditions. Yeah. Australia can win the World Cup, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, it looks increasingly likely they're going to get into the semi-finals. Unfortunately for the competition, I think we might have our four semi-finalists and we're only halfway through. We're still going to play another 21 group games, so they might all be utterly pointless, which is a bit of a shame. Unless, you know, like us, you get to wander around Dharamshala and Pune and Bangalore and Mumbai and have a laugh. But for anybody watching at home, unless England suddenly go on a run, it's hard to see who else is going to challenge them, because it ain't going to be Bangladesh, and it ain't going to be Sri Lanka. It could be Afghanistan, but that's highly unlikely. They've got first Australia and South Africa.
They've been a bit ropey as well.
They have, really. So something needs to change. But you know, we did say at the start of the competition, oh, those teams are absolutely crap. Australia, they're crap. They're not going to get through. And suddenly, within three matches, we're going, oh, they could win the World Cup. So there's time. There's time for things to change weirdly. Just a last note on Maxwell, by the way, because we should point out the record that he did today, the fastest World Cup 100. But also, he broke an ODI record, because when he came out to bat, it was the end of the 39th over. There are only 11 overs left in the inning. And it's the latest any human male, and I think even human female, has arrived at the crease in a one-day international and still got 100, which is pretty miraculous. And it does. I think the shootout between South Africa and Australia could be the end of a lot of people's desire ever to bowl a cricket ball again. That could easily be 450 against 451, with 150 being scored in the last 10 overs by each side. Heinrich Klassen against Glenn Maxwell. You know, David Miller against, could be Travis Head by then, because he's virtually fit. He nearly played today. And that means that they can drop one of Labuschagne or Smith, probably Labuschagne. But suddenly it looks like all of them can whack the ball to all parts. They can get rid of the giant man baby Cameron Green and replace him with Marcus Stoinis when his niggle's gone. And then they would be 100%, which would be slightly concerning for all.
Well, the record to beat, that legendary ODI that we watched many, many years ago between South Africa and Australia, still one of the greatest cricket matches of all time. South Africa chased 438. So will South Africa and Australia in this World Cup beat that combined runs total? That'll be an interesting thing to keep an eye on when that game kicks off. England tomorrow, it's all a bit sad and upsetting and depressing, but I suppose, you know, never say die. Remember at the start of the World Cup when I stuck my neck out and said England were definitely going to win it, and then when we lost two games, I after several pints of Guinness, put 30 quid on them to win the World Cup.
How weird.
I got very drunk and I got defiant, and then I put one of them to win the World Cup, because I thought 10-1, those idiots, they haven't seen the real England yet, and I fear they might have seen the real England. The good news is they're playing Sri Lanka tomorrow, who might be even shitter than England, which is promising. Looks like Moeen Ali's going to return to the side, which, you know, if he has they're sort of in a hiding to nothing with Moeen Ali, because if he has a bad game, that's bad for England. But if he has a great game, everyone's going to go, well, where the hell's he been the last couple of games? So it's all a bit of a mess. Rhys Topley, poor guy who's bowled so well, has got a broken finger. Pretty much the worst possible World Cup campaign so far. Now, we will do a post-mortem on the England campaign, if it does come to an end very soon, probably on a full episode of Zero Ducks Given. But Daniel Norcross, have you got any positivity for English cricket fans listening?
I think they might beat Sri Lanka. I think Sri Lanka's bowling is pretty woeful. That said, you know, England have contrived to lose so badly to New Zealand, Afghanistan and South Africa that it's very hard to gauge. We'll find out. The one thing I'm really hoping is it isn't hotter than they bargained for tomorrow. I hope that when they turn up and it's hot, they bargain for it being as hot as it actually is when they're bargaining for it. That would be good. I hope it's not too cold for them to bargain for either, you know, when it is as cold as it is, or indeed too windy. I mean, let's just hope that there are no meteorological conditions that aren't too whatever they might be for them to bargain for in real time while it is actually being what it is. This is what I really hope for the team, that they can use all of their senses and apply them in one go. I'd quite like it if they tried batting first with a little bit of freedom and see where that takes them. I do think that because they're up against it, they've really got to win every game. Realistically, their net run rate's so poor that they're effectively 1 point behind. And their last two World Cup winning campaigns in T20 and the 50-over World Cup were all when they had to win every game. So that might make the difference. Let's see. Let's hope. I've no idea what the team's going to look like. And they've got no Rhys Topley, who's been a potent threat. What could be happening though is the emergence of Gus Atkinson. He was the only England player in the last game to come out with any credit, and he came out with quite a lot of credit actually amidst the chaos of mayhem. Didn't he take two wickets and go for like four runs in the last over and then bonk 30 or 40 odd at the back end in a losing cause? So this might be the emergence of him and he deserves for it to happen. He's bowled really well over the last year and a bit. You're right, it might be Moe Enagi coming back into side might actually sort of get the balance of the side that they want going forward for the rest of the tournament. Who knows? They're not a bad team to be playing when you're up against it, Sri Lanka.
No.
As long as you don't let Kushal Mendes get 100 ball double 100. Other than that, they've not got a lot to scare you.
No.
But I wasn't really sure that Afghanistan had a huge amount to scare you other than the mighty Gurbaz.
Oh.
And, well, I suppose. You know, they did have others, didn't they? But
sorry, yeah. That noise was just me reacting to the name Gurbaz, who, as I've been telling you on WhatsApp, is officially my favourite cricketer of all time. I've decided he's better than Tendulkar and Lara combined, I've worked out. And that's quite exciting for the game, I think. But yeah, Ramanila Gurbaz is the find of the tournament, I think. I know he's played a lot of franchise stuff, but still ridiculously young. So ridiculously good to watch. Him and Rashindra. New Zealand, who I also get quite erect watching that. But yeah, there's been a couple of players.
It's his hair, isn't it?
It's everything. Look,
you're right. I'm amazed you haven't mentioned Sybrand Engelbrecht, because he, for me, has been the find of the tournament. Quite genuinely, I've rather enjoyed watching Sybrand Engelbrecht. There have been some shocks, haven't there? We've had a Netherlands shock. We've had a couple of Afghan shocks. This tournament hasn't been entirely without merit. It's just... Wouldn't it be lovely if not tomorrow, England need to win by 25 overs or 250 runs, but at some point after that, we had a real nail-biter. I think Australia-New Zealand in Dharamshala, with New Zealand winning off the last ball, that would be absolutely beautiful. Maybe we can have one of them. One that goes to the last over, because we haven't had enough time to finish.
And sadly, it doesn't feel like there's going to be too many games or too much riding on it. But we can live in hope. We can live in hope. Right, I'll see you for a proper episode tomorrow. Keep an eye out. We'll do a full reaction to the England game, which we'll record tomorrow after the game. And also, don't forget to get your questions in for the Dalai Lama as well. Send them at Zero Ducks Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Even just as I say Dalai Lama, he has gone into a Zen-like state. It's quite impressive to watch. See you soon.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.